And I am, again, as I said, so happy to be here. You know, all the things that I do and we do through the week, things that we're involved with, things that we have to do, and I'm always reminded by far, this is the most important. And this is the only thing of the week that I really look forward to. It's a Sabbath. Everything else is I have to. You know, I'd rather be doing something else, but today it's what I want to do. And it's as with us. And it's good to see you. And I know Terry's back. Terry is back. Good to see Terry. Always look forward to seeing you. Did you see in the bulletin? Name of the sermon? Passover what? 101? You know what that means? You know what we say when we use that term? Do you understand what we mean by that? 101? Basics. Right. We're entering in, you know, on the basics, the fundamentals. Before you can learn anything, before we do anything, in education, as a teacher and other teachers well understand, you've got to get the fundamentals down, right? I remember when I was a course in school, we can see the foundations for math, 2 plus 2. I was trying to explain this to a friend of mine a year or two ago. He was asking me about prophecies of Revelation, asked me some of the details of Revelation, and I told him, because he's experienced in math and he's very smart in math. I said, how can you understand trigonometry if you don't understand 2 plus 2? You have to get the fundamentals down first. And he's asking detailed, complex questions, and he doesn't understand the fundamentals. I said, you've got to start the fundamentals. And I told you I wanted to, you know, get into the festivals because a variety of things. There's so much material in here. So many good things, all pertaining to the sanctuary. And we know and we understand that the sanctuary is foundational above all things. It is absolute substance. Without the sanctuary as our foundation, our faith is on shifting sand. Have to have the foundation. We have to have the sanctuary. And of course, the festivals are a key factor, as well as everything else pertaining to the sanctuary. And I always want to reiterate the idea and let you know again, because you know how things can get twisted a little bit. You know, they might go out and say, there's this guy at the church at Aiken who's trying to say that we should start keeping the festivals. Oh, the church in Aiken's going, you know. No, I'm not saying that. What happens is, as we well understand in the Advent movement, there are a group of people that are out here saying, on this hand, we should start keeping the festivals. They want to go out and start keeping the festivals and doing these things. We know that that's true out here. But you know that it's true that for every action there is an equally opposite reaction. That's true in the physical realm. It's true in the spiritual realm too. So what is the opposite reaction? Opposite reaction on this hand, we won't have anything to do with festivals. This reaction is equally as wrong as this reaction over here. Where's the truth? It's always in the middle. That's right. Always in the middle. And I used to be on this reaction. That's where I was over here. Oh, nothing to do with it. Don't worry. Well, thank the Lord, He's long-suffering with us, isn't He? And He's patient. And He gives us understanding. And when we can grapple with these things, He brings them to our understanding. As well as it was for me in the beginning with the Sabbath. I remember standing in the living room telling Ray, I am not going to be a seventh day, and I am not going to quit doing these things. And here I am today. Thank the Lord for His long-suffering. But anyway, let's turn to the book of Exodus. And let's do a little reading first. Exodus, the 12th chapter. All right? This is Passover 101. So many wonderful things that are in here. And what I'd like to do, and these things are just about standard equipment with me today, especially when it comes with reading and so forth. So let's go to the book of Exodus, 12th chapter, and let's read through about verse 14. I want to, so that we can all have a good understanding, we're all on the same page, we can all get together, because like I said, there's so much material in here, and it is so good that I'm definitely not going to be able to get through all of it today. That's why it's just 101, it's just the basics, it's the fundamentals. But it is so good. as well as with as it was with the sanctuary. When I first began to see and understand these wonderful things that are illuminated from the sanctuary, which I had never known before, tremendous, wonderful things that I saw. The Lord was enlightening my mind and has ours, and we will continue with that. So let's go to Exodus again, the 12th chapter. Starting with verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too small for the little lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of their souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It says, a male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or of the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And thou shalt take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat it in the flesh that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, with his head and the legs, and with all the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and with shoes on, and your feet, and your staff, and your hands, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. He says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, the last one, and this day, the Lord says, shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So here we have again the fundamentals of the Passover, the first Passover. And what was going on with Egypt, with Israel in the land of Egypt? The Passover began as a celebration of God's deliverance for Israel in Egypt of the bondage that they were under in Egypt at that time. It also became a commemoration of Christ's deliverance to all believers from the bondage of sin. To the early Christian church, Jesus was the Passover lamb who had done for them what the Lord had done for Israel in Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb. Now there is marked evidence of this, and hold your place there in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Probably I'll just leave these out. And let's go to 1 Corinthians, and let's take a look at something here, because actually the early church understood this. 1 Corinthians, 5th chapter, verse 6, 7, and 8. I'll just lose that, but I'll get with these. 1 Corinthians 6th chapter, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, verse 6, 7, and 8. There are some issues that are going on in the church at Corinth, and this is how Paul addresses them in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not, he says, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now, if you remember correctly what we had read, part of what the issue was in Egypt at that time, for Israel, they were to eat it with unleavened bread. And here we have reference of that here at this point. He says, know ye not again that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." He says in verse 8, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of the sincerity of truth." He says again in that verse, let us keep the festival. Let us keep this feast. How is it today that we can keep this feast? As they did it prior to that? No, not at all. Can we keep this? Yes, we can keep this through a proper understanding of what the Lord would have for us and our position. How can we understand what the Lord would have, the position He would have us to be in, if we do not draw these things, let's go back to Exodus, through His Word? And we can see here again, reference to, direct reference to what we had just read in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Now again I said, and I want to reiterate this, that the Passover began as a celebration of God's deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. But we can well see and understand that it was also a commemoration of God's deliverance from the bondage of sin. Now, Egypt, as we well understand, and you can go, a text of scripture that comes to my mind is Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse about 8. There are two symbols of sin in Revelation 11 and verse 8, which is greatly in reference to the French Revolution and that particular prophecy. But it says, Sodom and Egypt. Egypt, over and over again through the scriptures, is often referenced to, and it is a symbol of bondage to sin. Over and over and again. As a matter of fact, Jerry mentioned something last week, and since he mentioned, I thought it was kind of interesting, especially in the context of where we are. As Israel came out of Egypt, which we have at this point, and they are at the bottom of Sinai, and Moses had been gone a little bit longer than what they had anticipated, and then you know what began to happen. And he had mentioned last week about what Moses had done when he addressed Aaron. He said, Aaron, what about this? Because you know what Aaron had done. You know, they put these things in the fire, and he was apparently experienced at working with metals and things like that, which I can kind of relate to a little bit. And what he had done with the golden calf. And you remember how Aaron reacted when it was brought to his attention? They threw it in the fire, and they threw all these things in the fire, and calf came out. Imagine that. The calf came out. You see what Aaron was doing? He was distancing himself from what he had done. He knew that he was wrong, right? So he's trying to distance himself from what he had done, and it just came out. And we know about the abominations that were taking place at the foot of Sinai and how they were conducting themselves. But the reality of it is this. As I was considering all this and been studying these things over the past month or so, this was not new for Israel. The truth of the matter is, they had been conducting themselves, the Lord's people had been conducting themselves in this fashion in Egypt. This was not a new... They didn't say, hey, why don't we make a golden calf? Everybody said, great idea. Now let's conduct ourselves in this fashion. Great. No, they didn't do that. That was something that Israel had been doing for many, many years. And what was the Passover about? It was about delivering them. Egypt. Bondage. Sin. I have heard, and again getting back to this truth, that how can you and I understand the position that the Lord would have for you and I? We believe, and I know that it is true, that is the message of righteousness by faith. Even in the Passover, you have the truth of the message of righteousness by faith. It's here. Egypt again was with what the Lord was delivering and taking His people out from represents bondage to sin. Now, I have heard, and perhaps you have heard it before, actually pastors saying, I heard them say it, that I sin, I'm going to sin, I'm trying to do my best, I've overcome these big problems, but I'm going to sin all the way down to the second coming, and the Lord, when the Lord delivers me at this point, that's the end of it. That, and I heard it, that is not what the Bible says. This is not what Jesus came to do. The early Christian church, as we can see it here, we read that in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. This is what we see in Paul's letter to the church. But this is the mindset, because when we come in, and when I had a better understanding of the message of righteousness by faith over the years, as I have read through the Gospels, as we have studied through Paul's letters to the different churches, you can see all over the place the message of righteousness by faith, as we see it here with the Passover. God's intent is to deliver you and I from the bondage of sin.
Amen.
Even right here, righteousness by faith. It's so important. And again, this is why I say, can we keep it? Yes, we can keep it. Through a proper understanding of what the Lord is trying to tell us through the Passover. There are so many things that can be brought out of this. And as I was studying these things and looking at these things and examining, there's so much, I thought this could take over an hour. And you can't even do it justice in an hour. So I decided to take just steps and just bring out aspects of it as we go on. But this is one of the great things that especially impressed me as I was going through this material. Another thing that also was, and it says it here again in verses 2 and 3. It says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." The timing of the Passover is really so incredible when you just think about the time of the year that it was, especially where I come from. Now down here, it's interesting because you have a lot of pine trees. And the climate is a lot nicer to me. It's a lot nicer down here because I'm not a winter person. I never have been. I like the summertime. But especially where Lori and I came from, it was not uncommon. This time of the year, we could go 3 months at a time with no sunshine. It is a very depressing time of the year. Now, I mentioned also, too, that you have a lot of pine trees down here, so things stay green. Where I come from, it's hardwoods. And you know what hardwoods do in the winter? They shed their leaves. And Lorraine has heard me say many, many times, we'd be driving to church, I'd say, brown grass with brown trees on a gray background. She's heard me say it. So depressing. And for 3 months at a time, it really gets to me. Now, she's a little bit more up, so she could deal with it better than I did, but I really had a hard time with it. But especially the time of the Passover is so incredible because it is in the springtime when this event takes place. And there were so many times when we would be driving to church and we would see the leaves starting to come back out on the trees, and we would comment on the green, look, it's green, you know, and the grass is starting to turn green, and life is coming forth, springing forth from what seemed to be a dead horizon to me for the past couple of months. And we really appreciate that when these things start to take place. And also, too, life sprang forth through that Passover lamb, through Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, life sprang forth. It had been sealed that you and I, through the blood, through the sacrifice, and especially also too through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, life was guaranteed for you and for me.
Amen.
Tremendous. And there's so much, like I said, that I want to get into, and there's so much, but this is one of the things that, like I said, in Passover 101, one of the great things that I really wanted to get into was that bondage that Christ, again, through the blood, through the message of the righteousness by faith, that we can overcome perfectly all cultivated and inherited tendencies to sin.
Amen.
That's what the Passover, one of the things, the great things that the Lord is trying to get us. It is not what Christianity is saying today. It is not what our evangelicals, and I don't care how hard they say it, I don't care what they say, and especially as we study these things, and I've been considering these things over the past several weeks, you can see the love that the Lord has for us just through the Passover. But you can also, I could see the incredible genius of Jehovah as He is bringing these things out through the lesson of the Passover. The pure genius of God. It is no doubt in my mind as we study these things or as we are enlightened by these things, I can fully understand why the devil did what the Lord said he would do in Daniel 8:11. That he would attack the sanctuary, he would cast it to the ground, and he would practice and he would prosper. But he had to attack the sanctuary first. He had to get rid of the sanctuary. He had to get rid of these things so that he could practice and prosper. Because as long as our minds are stayed on the foundation of Christ, our high priest, the work for our high priest, all these things that are associated with the sanctuary, he cannot practice and prosper.
Amen.
He had to attack the sanctuary. And I, as I have heard it, they said it to my face. Perhaps they said it to yours. You may have heard this. Oh, you're under the old covenant. The old covenant. Well, the early Christian church, we have an example of it. And I believe that Paul, we see it in the writings, but I do believe as Paul traveled around the world and everywhere he went in his life, that he emphasized these things. Because he understood the significance of it. And even as Jesus tried over and over again with his disciples, as we have seen, he tried to tell them what was getting ready to happen. He tried to tell them that actually what you and I had read in Exodus 12 chapter is a prophecy. This Exodus, this Passover, which literally happened, was really a type of what was going to be happening and what Jesus was going to be doing for them. And they had it and they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it until after His resurrection.
Right.
After the resurrection, they figured it out. Even though He had told them over and over again. How important is it for you? And like I said, it doesn't matter how much they say it. It doesn't matter how much modern Christianity denies it. The truth of the matter is, these things are grounded and rooted in the Word of God. And they are for our benefit. No matter what anybody says. That's how you and I can understand our position. And what Jesus would have for you and I. That you and I can perfectly overcome through the blood of the Passover Lamb. And we can come out from underneath the bondage of sin. Not like what modern Christianity is saying today, that we will sin until the second coming. That is not founded in the Word of God.
Right.
So again, like I said, this is just Passover 101. And as we continue to study, as we get into the, I like to get into the prophetic significance of this. And there's a great deal of symbolism everywhere in these few texts of Scripture that we've read. Symbolism everywhere. Wonderful things. And what we have to do is we got to get down, we got to break that symbolism down. And when we break it down and as we dissect it, we can see more clearly. You know, I heard a pastor define it several years ago as this. When you look at a flower, Flowers are beautiful things. Flowers are things that God has created. The more closely you look at a flower, the more beautiful it becomes. The more perfect you can see that beautiful thing and how perfect it is that God has made it. But when you look at something of man, that man has done, the closer you get to looking at it, the more imperfections you can see in it. The opposite with God. And this is the Word of God, and the festivals and the sanctuary, they're a flower. As we get into it and we look at it closer and closer, we are going to see more and more of the beauty of this flower, of these things that God has given us, and we will appreciate them more as we continue to go on. So that's next. We'll get into some of the prophetic significance of this, and we'll start breaking down the symbolism next time when I come back. So I didn't take too long this time. And maybe some may appreciate it. I don't know. But anyway, all right. Sounds like it. That's all right. That's good. Let's turn in our hymnals for our closing song. Connie is going to play for us.